888-666. And now, Phil Hendry.
Okay, at the Summer Tacular Western Estates, Bobby Dooley joins us for Southern California Lifestyles along with her husband, Steve. Bobby is the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Sounds like a lot of action out there, Bobby.
It certainly is, Phil, and we'll continue all through this week, through Sunday, our Summer Tacular at Western Estates. We've had such a terrible time over the last week. A lot of people, of course, feel so badly for the Smart family in Utah. Our thoughts and our prayers are for Elizabeth Smart. We are all homeowners here, of course, but we're also parents and we're families, and we think so. We feel so badly for that family. And we did try, of course, in our way to institute security measures here at Western Estates so that our children would not be the victims of this kind of abduction, which we think is, I guess, Phil, it's part and parcel of our times.
I know that you've started some after-hours home security testing there.
Well, beginning early this month and continuing throughout the month, the Western Estates Homeowners Association began what we feel is a very bold program to empower families and to defend children. We realized that we would receive criticism and some backlash, but we think that it was an outstanding idea, and we think the safety and security of our children is paramount.
Tell us about that, if you can, and I hear that they're talking about Elizabeth Smart and talking about all the children being abducted in the middle of your summer tacular. It sounds like everybody's having such a good time.
They really are, Phil, and I'm stunned.
What happened and what have you been doing?
Well, we have identified in Western Estates, out of the 250 homes here, we have identified those homes with female children that are underage. We charted where the homes were. We've charted the movements of the people there. And as I said, during this month, the vice president of our board, which is my husband, Steve Dooley, along with our secretary treasurer, Ray Greeley, and our head of security, Art Holm, randomly performed what we called midnight mock kidnappings. Now, listen to this, Phil, because we feel it's really brilliant and it's a wonderful way to protect and to safeguard our children. We saw how easy it was for someone to gain access to Elizabeth Smart. We wanted to see if the same situation and conditions existed here and then see how far someone could get in abducting children. Now, obviously, we're not really talking about abducting children. We're talking about going into the home after hours and going into these homes, waiting for a few minutes, and then taking the child out of the home.
Now, I want to get this right. Steve Dooley, Ray Greeley, and Art Holm.
Yeah, we would randomly perform midnight mock kidnappings. And I know what you're thinking, Phil.
That you're going into homes and taking children?
No. What we're doing is we're seeing how easy it is to gain access to the children's bedrooms and then seeing how far they could get in abducting the child.
All right, so you go into the house and take a child.
We don't really kidnap the child. I want to be very, very clear. We go into the home after hours.
Are you gaining access to people's... Do they know?
No, we sent out a memo at the beginning of the month, right after the Elizabeth Smart abduction. We sent out a memo telling the homeowners we would be doing these home security checks.
And then your husband, Steve, and these other two gentlemen would gain access to the house and then abduct...
We did not abduct. We removed the child from the house. Phil, it's not as bad as you think.
Well, what I'm thinking here is you've got a frightened child. You may have a frightened homeowner. It sounds like it's something illegal.
No, it is not illegal, and I want you, Phil, to be very careful. We let them know with a memo that we would be conducting these home security tests. They are mock kidnappings. The children are fine. We take the child from the home, we hold them at a McDonald's or a Jack in the Box that's nearby, and then we go back into the home and explain to the parents and to the homeowners, do you see how easy it was? Now here are some suggestions on what you can do to safeguard your home.
Is your husband trained in security?
Well, what does that have to do with anything?
Well, your husband is a landscape architect, right?
Yes, but he's the vice president of our board. And Ray Greeley is the secretary treasurer. I don't follow.
So Ray Greeley, who's the secretary treasurer, what does he do for a living?
He owns two clothing stores.
So a guy that owns clothing stores and another guy that's a landscape architect are going into homes and taking children.
still, it is not as bad as you are putting it out to be, and I'm very offended. The children are fine.
But you're frightening children and homeowners.
I think it's a little bit better to get a little frightened to find out how secure you are. Now,
well, let me give our phone number out, because I know that you had at least one problem over on in an area called the Gardenia phase.
Yes, that was the Millers.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley of the Homeowners Association of Western Estates, conducting what they call after-hour security checks, mock kidnappings of children.
Phil, we felt for the Elizabeth Smart family. And I'm a little shocked.
Well, I feel for the Elizabeth Smart family. We all feel for the Elizabeth Smart family.
We don't want to have happen to us what happened to them. Now, let me go ahead and preempt you because...
Well, all right, so...
That we felt for that family, and we feel we have come up with a tremendous program that helps the family stay on guard. These mock kidnappings, and don't get me wrong, they scare the hell out of the families, but they're supposed to. Now, on June 10th, my husband Steve and Ray... Because I'm going to preempt you here. I know what you're going to mention.
Yeah, I'm mentioning the Miller family in the Gardenia phase, right?
Yes. Now, Steve and Ray gained access to the home. They mistakenly entered the wrong bedroom that they thought was the bedroom of the 15-year-old daughter. I think her name is Ashley. And instead, it was the master bedroom. Because in the Gardenia phase, the children's wing is in the east, the master's in the west. And Ray and Steve understandably made a mistake because they had done some renovation, which was against the CC&Rs. And that is also something I'm going to mention.
All right, well, but tell me what happened.
Ray and Steve were doing an after-hours security check, and through no fault of their own, they entered the master and were, I guess, leaning or crouching over Laura Miller, the wife. Suddenly, my husband, Steve...
I understand he was injured.
He was struck across the head and the ribs by Mr. Miller with what we later found out was a police-issue magnesium flashlight. Ray Greeley took off.
So now Steve is in a man's home, and the man understandably has attacked him.
Not understandably. This was an after-hours security check.
He was in the man's home, and if he'd gone to the right bedroom, he would have abducted
Not abducted.
All right, he would have done a security check by taking the little girl.
That's right. Josh Miller hit...
Sorry, honey.
Is that Mr. Dooley?
Yes.
Mr. Henry.
Hold on, I want to say it. Ray Greeley took off, and Steve was trying to explain to Mr. Miller...
Well, what was he saying?
He said, stop what you're doing. I'm with the Homeowners Association. Stop what you're doing. And Steve was trying to get the stocking mask off, but Josh was an animal, just enraged.
All right, so your husband was wearing a stocking mask?
Yes.
Do you understand that this man thought that someone was breaking into his home?
Everyone had been informed.
Everyone?
Yes.
So then what happened?
My husband was able to break free. He ran out of the house where he thought Ray would be waiting in the van, but, and forgive my language, that bastard had taken off, leaving Steve with two cracked ribs and what we later found out to be a concussion. He left my husband to run six blocks back to our home in the Bougainvillea phase, and Ray was already there parked, and...
He was crying.
Ray was there crying and yelling at Steve, and... Because I was awake, I knew they were going out on another security check, saying that he wanted no part of our so-called bonehead plan. He said he was scared. And I will tell you, Phil, I have never been so humiliated. He was betrayed, and he betrayed us. My husband was assaulted trying to do something good.
Lady, your husband was assaulted going into a home.
It was an after-hour security check, and Steve can hardly enjoy himself these days. He's in so much pain. The only...
Who was arrested?
Nobody was arrested.
Well, your husband should have been arrested.
No, Josh Miller should have been arrested. As a Homeowners Association president, I can make security arrangements. Steve and I have talked, and we are going to talk to a judge about this.
All right. So your after-hours home security check was your husband, Steve Dooley, and Ray Greeley.
And Art Holmes is our security chief at the Homeowners Association from the guard shack.
Staging mock kidnappings.
To find out how safe people's homes are.
Had you done any before?
We'd done a few, and we'd allowed the child, and then we brought the child back, and then we told the parents later.
Well, then they would have arrested you then.
No, you see, we can go in, take a child out, and put the child back, and you can't prove it. So this is something that's opened a lot of homeowners' eyes. And a lot of...
Are there homeowners sitting still for you going into their house after hours and taking their children?
Well, what are they going to do, Phil? I'm the Homeowners Association president. And this is all because of the Smart Families ordeal. We're taking a page from the Smart Family. We're protecting our children. And if little Elizabeth Smart can't be protected, then we can protect our own. And I think Steve and Ray breaking into homes at night and taking the children out for a few minutes and putting them back very gently, gently holding a hand over their mouth so they don't cry out. And then later we go to the parents and we say, do you know what we did last night? We came into your home and took your child. How do you feel? And I can assure you they are ashamed and embarrassed.
Well, your husband was assaulted by at least one homeowner.
Because they renovated and their children, they were in the wrong wing of the house.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, where a security plan that they put into place, they went into people's homes after hours to see if they could abduct children, because after the Elizabeth Smart case, they didn't think the homes were secure. And in one of the homes that they went into after hours, the husband was assaulted by the father, who didn't know why they were in the home. Ms. Dooley is defending her husband's actions by saying that they sent a memo to all of the homeowners, and she says that as a Homeowners Association president, she has the right to do these kind of security checks. 1-800-449-8686. And as we speak, Mr. Dooley has a concussion, two cracked ribs, and civil litigation is being contemplated. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association with home security checks that go beyond any that I've ever heard of. You're going into people's homes and staging mock kidnappings because of the Elizabeth Smart case, because you feel that children could be at risk. And you also think that you want to see if any children are at risk in your...
In our community, yes.
In our community, Mr. Henry, you got to understand that children are at risk every day.
And Phil, I can tell you that after Steve was assaulted by that man, we are going before a judge, and we're going to suggest to a judge that in lieu of us suing, if Laura Miller and her children agree to do odd jobs around our house for the duration of the summer, including tending to my husband, who was violently assaulted by her husband, we'll drop any civil claim.
You're going to sue them?
Well, of course.
They could sue you.
I'm the president of the Homeowners Association. I think it takes a pretty significantly large pair to sue me. We were doing security checks, checking to see if the children were safe.
Going in and taking kids out of the house?
Yes. And then Steve was hit over the head with a police-issue flashlight.
Would you do the same thing, Mr. Henry?
What?
Would you do that to me?
Mr. Dooley, I don't mean anything personal by this, but if I saw you in my home...
Even after we had sent around a memo.
Well, if you sent around a memo...
See, that's what I'm saying.
But I would find it very hard not to act if I saw you leaning over my wife, and I didn't know who you were, without taking that sawed-off baseball bat that I keep near my bed, and...
So you would assault me?
You would assault my husband?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Henry, we'll keep that in mind.
No, you guys... Let me go to a phone call here. You guys are way off base. Allison, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
It's a wonder this man didn't get shot. He could be dead right now.
I beg your pardon?
This lady is thinking that she can just go into people's homes because of a memo. I could see maybe if they got written consent beforehand.
Do you know who Elizabeth Smart is?
Yes, I do. I understand the case, but it takes a significant pair, as you said, to do what you've done and then think that you've done something right. If you're taking these children out of the house either an hour or a week, it's kidnapping.
We're taking them outside and we're feeding them some McDonald's or Jack in the Box.
Right, and they have no idea who you are.
They don't know what's wrong.
Their parents don't know that they're gone. That's just totally wrong.
What about this thing you said you put your hand over the kid's mouth?
Yeah.
They don't cry out.
Well, you must be scaring the hell out of these children.
We explain to them that we don't, that we're going to return them.
We tell them that we're going to take them over to McDonald's for a quarter pounder with cheese, and then we take them home. So they're fine.
It's just unbelievable that you
do
think
live
you
in,
can do this.
Can I ask you a question? Do you live in a gated community?
I'm sorry?
Do you live in a gated community? A community?
No, I don't.
Oh, all right.
But
well,
I tell you, I never would if
yeah.
someone thinks that
yeah.
they can come
yeah.
into my house like
oh,
that because
that
I live within
it.
Their gate,
yeah,
if they
yeah.
own my property
right.
like that.
See, Allison, that explains it. You don't understand that in a gated community, we do have certain security measures.
That's why I said if you got written
mm-hmm.
consent from these parents that
mm-hmm.
say that beforehand, maybe then they would think, oh, yeah, that memo. Oh, okay,
we
so
did.
The
we
kid's
around,
okay.
We sent around
but
memo.
But I still think the child is traumatized.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, the children are fine.
Yeah, that's your opinion.
Well, how do you know? How do you know?
I don't know, but I just think the majority of people are behind me that this child is scared. Very much so.
The children are laughing and having fun at Jack in the Box.
I cannot believe that you people think you can do this in the United States of
if
America.
If we feel that some of the parents are careless, we will keep part of the children's pajamas to teach the parents a lesson, but the children is returned.
Teach them a lesson.
Yes.
Oh,
because,
you are unbelievable, lady.
Have you ever heard of Elizabeth Smart?
Yes, we've heard of Elizabeth Smart. We've answered your question. What do you mean part of the kids' pajamas?
We do keep a piece of clothing that we mail to them a month later with a note that says, see what we can do?
God,
yeah,
that's unbelievable.
That's right. Allison, move into a gated community, then I think you'll know what we're talking about.
I would never do that. If someone
yeah,
like you has...
We're in the bougainvillea phase.
If
right.
someone like you thinks that they
mm-hmm.
can go into my
mm-hmm.
home because I live within the gates of your walls,
mm-hmm.
I would
mm-hmm.
never do that. And I think probably
mm-hmm.
a lot of people are considering moving.
No, no. We have some of the most desirable community in Southern California. We do live in Southern California, and that's maybe why you don't get it.
I live in Southern California, and I've lived in Florida. People are the same everywhere.
Well, I don't think so.
Well, I do.
Well, I don't.
Okay, great. Allison, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I don't.
I know. I heard you the first time. 1-800-449-8686. Jason, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Daly or
mm-hmm.
Dooley?
Our name is Dooley.
Dooley, okay. You say you have certain security measures at your place.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I have a special security precaution at my place.
Mm-hmm.
It's made by Smith & Wesson. And if your husband would have been standing over my wife in the middle of the night with a stocking on his head, not only would he be having a very bad day right now, he would be dead right now.
Jason, this
is my right to defend myself, my wife, my children, my property.
Not if we sent you a memo. Not
if
we sent you the memo.
You can take that memo and burn it because it doesn't mean jack to me.
If you get a memo in your mailbox 15 days in advance.
Well, I tell you what, you know, you
live in a gated
community? You can send out memos to whoever you want.
Jason, have you ever heard of Elizabeth Smart?
But you people are crazy as hell.
Have you heard of Elizabeth Smart?
Yes, I've heard of Elizabeth
All right.
Smart. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
My cousin was
mm-hmm.
abducted 5 years ago. They never found her. Okay?
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So that's why we're doing what we're doing, Jason. And I would think you'd
you
be one
what?
Of the first people to endorse us coming into your home while you're asleep, taking your child for only 5 minutes, and then bringing him back minus a piece of his pajamas. What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that?
Yes.
My God,
what's
what
wrong
planet
with that?
Are you living on, lady?
I live on Earth.
Okay, well,
okay.
You know, maybe you ought to
you
give yourself a smack in the face for a reality check.
What's wrong with us
you know,
putting your child back into her bed without her pajamas?
There's nothing
pajama
wrong
bottom.
Putting my child back in my bed. The problem is you taking the child from my house.
Exactly.
Just
taking the child.
Because you give me a memo saying you're going to do a home security check?
Yes.
I'll take care of my own home, my own child, my own wife, my
what,
own certain
what
way.
About the, what about the Homeowners Association?
The Homeowners Association can go to hell.
Oh, my God.
Excuse my language for being on the air, but
we
they can go straight to hell.
We live in a gated community, Jason.
That's great
and
for
we have
you. You know what? That is really good.
Well, I can tell you, Jason, if I broke into your house and you hit me with a flashlight, I'd sue you.
Well, that's fine, but if you broke into my house, I wouldn't hit you with a flashlight. I'd hit you with a .45.
Jason, have you ever heard about Elizabeth Smart?
Man, you people.
What is it with you guys?
Get a reality check.
Yeah.
Everybody
right.
knows who that poor little girl is.
All right, Jason, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Dooleys are breaking into people's homes to see if you're...
The Phil Henry Show is back.
My husband believes we can sue her.
This woman's home you went into under the guise of doing a security check to make sure the children were safe because of the Elizabeth Smart case.
That's correct.
All right. You go into the home. The man hits your husband, Steve, over the head with a flashlight. He runs out with a concussion and two cracked ribs. And you're going to sue her? What makes you think she won't sue you?
Phil, I don't think she's going to sue us.
Why not?
A, Steve did gain access to the home, and if he hadn't made the wrong choice of bedrooms, that girl would have been gone. So he did show them where their renovation could have caused them the life of their child.
Well, I don't see that.
And B, my husband tells me that Laura probably wouldn't want a certain trip that she took to Calistoga, California, in the company of another woman, publicized. I don't think she wants that out in the open. I don't think she wants that on our community center bulletin board. So
she went to Calistoga with another woman, and you think this is some kind of lesbian blackmail?
Well, I can assure you...
It could have been a girlfriend she went with.
Apparently she's a world-class skeet shooter.
And apparently she wears a mullet, which is a haircut that is notorious in lesbian neighborhoods. Now, the mullet has been singled out by police as one of the singular identifying factors of criminally predatory lesbians. Mullets, skeet shooting. I think you know where I'm going with this, Phil. The police will tell you, because
we've checked the police website,
that the predatory lesbian wears a mullet, is a skeet shooter, and Doc Martin boots. Now, unless Laura Miller wants it on the community center bulletin board that she spent 4 days in a Calistoga mud bath with a notoriously known predatory lesbian,
she better think again.
She better think again. Thank you, Steve. Now, we know what we're doing, Mr. Hendry.
You break into people's houses.
We didn't break in.
Or you go in under the guise of a home security check, take their kid for 5 minutes, guy busts you over the head with a flashlight, and you're going to sue him.
Read it and weep. Read it and weep.
Read it and weep, huh?
That's right.
That's right. Come at me.
Come at me.
1-800-449-8686. Let me go over to Alex on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Alex.
Hi.
This would never have been done, by the way, Phil, if they had not done illegal renovations.
Go ahead, Alex.
Hello. Now, what if, on the sake of argument, because you weren't wearing anything that was identifiable, like you had a stocking mask over your head, what if you weren't, that break-in wasn't you guys, and it was a real break-in? He wasn't supposed to
out of the
burglar. How is he supposed to distinguish between a real burglar and you?
In that instance, no, you do not attack the burglar. No, you do not.
You know what? If a burglar broke into my house, they certainly would not be able to leave the house in one piece.
Ordinarily you would, but you would have to, knowing that we had that memo out, you would have to restrain yourself.
So if the burglar...
Why would I restrain myself to someone who is obviously dangerous and obviously needing to cross the arm if they're in my house to rob my
children? First of all, my husband shouted...
Why would I expect that they would treat me nicely?
Would the burglar say that he's from the Homeowners Association? No. My husband shouted... I'm Steve Dooley.
You know, he had to in order not to get caught or not get in trouble or not have you hit him. When you're surprising people like that, you're not going to get the hell beat out of
you. My husband identified himself as a member of the Homeowners Association.
Yeah, I can walk into somebody's house and tell them I'm a police officer. Does that make it true?
No, it does not. But we have sent the memo out.
And how the hell does he know?
Couple it with the memo that we sent out.
I said, freeze. I'm Steve Dooley, the Homeowners Association. Freeze.
My husband told him to freeze. Ridiculous.
Why?
Listen to yourself.
I'm listening to you, Alex.
You want people to just let you break into their house and not fight back. Does that make any sense?
I am telling you,
when someone really breaks into their house.
Well, Alex, at least we're parents that are doing something, okay?
We're not just sitting on our thumbs waiting for our children to be taken. Are you desensitizing these people to?
We take them to Arby's for a cheese beef.
I know you said that, but aren't you desensitizing these people if a real attack occurs?
If the real
like
attack...
Oh, it's just another fake attack. These people are from the, you know what?
No,
the
Alex, you still haven't
idea.
Heard me. I said,
me,
my
no, no,
husband
you're
said,
listen, please,
my
please,
husband
please,
said, freeze,
me,
I'm with the homeowners.
Wait a minute, Alex. Alex, this is Phil. Wait a minute. Your husband said, freeze, I'm with the homeowners association?
Yes. Good God, this man wouldn't let me tell you. So he said, freeze, I'm with the Homeowners Association.
Oh, freeze, I'm with the Homeowners Association. Okay,
yes.
So I walk into somebody's house, they say, freeze, I'm the Pope.
Freeze, I'm the bottled water man.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so now we think it's funny. Alex, have you heard of Elizabeth Smart?
What part of the government
have you
does
heard
your husband represent
the Elizabeth
as a member of the Homeowners Association?
He is deputized by our Homeowners Association.
Does he have to walk into people's houses? Please tell me that.
Because the Homeowners Association.
Have you ever heard of the
marked.
United States of America?
He was in a marked car.
Have you ever heard of the United States of America?
He was in a marked car.
Have you ever heard of the United States? I'm playing your game now.
I'm answering
your
question.
Have you ever heard of the United States of America?
I'm answering your question. He was in a marked car.
Okay. Have you ever heard of the United States of America?
Have I ever heard of the United States of America?
Yes, because this is the land of the free.
What marked car was he? Was he in a LA County Sheriff van?
He was in a van that was clearly marked Western Estates Homeowners Association.
What you're giving criminals good ideas right now, because all they're going to do is they're going to go into people's houses and say, hey, I'm with the Homeowners Association. The homeowners
don't understand.
Say, oh, I'm going to get sued if I fight back.
He said, freeze, I'm with the Homeowners Association, at which point Josh Miller said, then you can take this for your assessments.
So wait a minute. Josh hit him even though...
That's ridiculous.
So Josh heard that he was with the Homeowners Association.
Yes.
And he still clubbed him.
Yes.
Well, he still had a right to club him.
Absolutely.
Oh, my sweet Christ. You're saying
I'll tell you
that
what,
even
my
though my
friend,
husband, the vice president of the board, identified himself and said freeze. Okay, Alex?
Yeah?
He said freeze.
Yeah?
Well, what more do you want?
If the best man at my wedding came into my house with his stocking cap on and said, hey, freeze, I'm the best man at your wedding, I'd still club him in the ribs with a freaking police-issued flashlight.
I think this guy's just scared that his wife's lesbian affair.
You don't know she's having a lesbian affair.
What business does that make? Wait, what business is it of yours?
I'm going to publicize it.
Please tell me what business is it of yours.
I think you'd be a little shocked if your wife was off for a weekend with a woman in a mullet and her hands heavily into khaki cargo shorts.
I've never called a radio show before. I'm calling you right now. I'm calling this one right now because I am shocked to find that there's people like you in this country.
Absolutely.
I'm mortified.
Taking this idea of a, thank you very much, Alex, this idea of your homeowners association a little too far. Here is Kim on the Phil Henry Show. Kim, go ahead.
Yeah, I got a comment. All three of them really need to be put in jail for doing stuff like that. But they go in there late at night, and they scare these kids to death, and then they keep a piece of their pajamas. How do you know they're not doing something to the kids?
What are you talking about? I'd like you to be very direct with what you're saying. Be very careful, because I could sue.
Well, ma'am, you can sue all you want, but, you know, you're going to get sued by them other people, you know. How do you know? You saying that she's a lesbian or been off with a lesbian,
yes,
that's accusation.
Yes, ma'am.
Or how do the parents don't know that y'all are doing something to the kids when y'all come in the house and take them and keep a piece of their pajamas?
Well, Kim, oh, my God, she goes off for 4 days with a woman who is a skeet shooter. Hello.
How do you know that?
Because my husband shoots the same club she shoots at.
She's a championship skeet shooter. With a mullet and wears cargo shorts.
And wears cargo shorts. Good God.
Well, and I wear men's blue jeans and T-shirts. Does that make me a man?
You do what?
I wear men's blue jeans and men's T-shirts and all that. Does that make me a man?
Do you pee standing up?
All right.
No, that's a fair question, and I deserve an answer. Do you pee standing up?
No, I don't. I pee sitting down.
Then you're not a man. But my question is, what are pajamas?
Pajamas.
Pajamas.
Yeah, and what are you doing with the pajama bottoms?
We mail it back to the family a month later with a handwritten note that says, it could happen again. And
well, lady...
What that tells the family is, watch out.
Lady, you, your husband, and his friend are sick. I hope they put y'all underneath the jail.
Well, I don't know what was sick about what we did, protecting families and showing them that what happened to Elizabeth Smart could happen to them.
What happened to Elizabeth Smart was a very unfortunate thing that happened.
Oh, easy for you to say.
You know, you don't have the right to go into somebody else's house at night and take their kids. What gives you the right? Because you're president of a association?
And
you're
now
not
I have
a cop,
to,
lady.
And now I have to, Kim, I'm glad you're on the line. I have to bring up the most odious, charge made by the Miller family, a baby tooth. A baby tooth was mailed to their home.
The tooth was loose anyway.
Did you pull a tooth out of that child's head, yes or no?
It was a loose baby tooth.
Covered with blood?
Well, a baby tooth's going to bleed too, and it was loose anyway, and we had a lot of fun. We tied it to a string to a doorknob, and we went, wee, and before you knew it, it was out.
Well, what give you the right to do that?
Do what?
To pull that child's tooth with a string and a doorknob.
Just to let the family know.
Lady, you're sick. You are one sick individual.
Have you ever heard of Elizabeth Smart?
Will you knock it off with that already? We've heard. And there's nothing that you've said to us today that makes what you do right. Even though you're trying to protect families from kids getting abducted, busting into somebody's house, taking the kid, take them down to McDonald's, take their pajama bottom and pull a tooth out of their head and then mail it to them a month later with a note that says it could happen again. Do you sign it?
We sign it, our code name.
Because you're too scared to put your real name on it because you know they can take you to court and you'll go to jail. That's all I have to say to this.
What do you sign it?
We sign it Spider-Man.
Spider-Man! Thank you, Kim.
You're welcome, Phil.
Oh, so I guess you think we're bad now.
Yeah, uh-huh. Something like that.
Well, anyway, Phil, you can hear in the background, it's a wonderful summer-tacular. Bring everybody down. Barbecue is at 5, and our fashion show starts at 8. At the Western Estates Homeowners Association, exciting and wonderful summer-tacular. See you all down here, everybody. Have a wonderful summer.
Wait a minute. You guys aren't getting away. You're not. Hello. God, that makes me angry. Hello! Will you turn that off? 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I have a question, Ms. Dooley.
Yes.
You say that you take the children out of these homes just for a few minutes, and then you return them back. You take them to McDonald's.
That's correct.
Then why was one child taken to a strip bar?
No, wait a minute, Phil.
One child was taken to a strip bar and held there for 2 hours.
Wait, that was the same night as Nick Franklin's stag party. It was his bachelor party. Steve had been invited to it. That was a pre-existing commitment.
And so he went into a home, and he kept his commitment to abduct a child to prove...
Have you heard of Elizabeth Smart?
How many times are you going to ask me if I've heard Elizabeth Smart? I've heard of Elizabeth Smart.
Oh, you can't talk to my wife that way, Mr. Henry.
Well, I'm talking to her that way because you took a kid into a strip bar.
It was a stag.
And we brought the child back 2 hours later. The father was leaving for work, but we gave the child back to the father, explained the situation.
Yeah, and that was Bill Franklin, wasn't it?
Yes.
And he said that that Steve had booze on his breath. In fact, he identified it as single barrel Johnny Jack Daniels.
Well, obviously he drinks.
Well, obviously your husband drinks too. For a man to be able to identify the brand of whiskey on another man's breath, single barrel Jack, and you hand his child back to him with booze on your breath. I can't believe you people haven't been sued.
I am the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Okay? Not Nick Franklin, not Bob Franklin, or any other family that's named Franklin living in our community. Me, Bobby Dooley. And for you to insinuate that we have done anything to those children other than remove them from their rooms with a hand over their mouth so they can't alert their parents, keep them somewhere for a couple of hours, entertaining them. First of all, it was a female child, so she knows what boobs look like.
It was a female child, so she knows what boobs look like.
Yeah, most mothers undress in front of their female daughters.
Oh, as opposed to their male daughters?
Yeah.
Let me go to Adriana on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Adriana.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air. This is
Hi. Shocking. I can't.
You know what? I'm shocked by this.
I just have a question. If someone can take a child out of a room without the parents' permission for 5 minutes to an hour, regardless of if you're the president of the United States, you are still kidnapping a child.
Have you
are
ever
putting
heard,
your hands over their mouth, pulling their tooth out. How can you say that this is not traumatic
don't forget
to
taking
a child?
Them, don't forget taking them to a strip bar.
Taking them to a strip bar? You guys are despicable. That is disgusting.
Have you ever been on a cruise?
You need to be arrested.
Have you ever been on a cruise?
You need to have your entire homeowners association
all right, well,
get
the answer then is
together
no.
and sue you.
Then you've never been on a cruise. What
no, I've never been on a cruise.
What they do on a cruise is a lifeboat drill. They make
I'm,
you come out of your cabin and go out and do a lifeboat drill.
I understand that, Nick.
We are allowed to do a drill, too.
Okay, so if a kidnapper were to put a note into your mailbox and then 15 days later kidnap your child, that is okay. They can't be touched. They are above the law. You guys are not above the law.
He's not allowed to do that. That's against the law.
Well, but what you're doing is also against the law.
No,
regardless of who you are.
My wife's the president of the Homeless Association, and as such, she has law enforcement power.
You guys
bull
need
crap.
To speak again.
Are you
I'm
in
sorry.
A homeowners association, Adriana?
You know what? I would never, just because of what you guys are
well,
doing, I would never
know.
In my
and
mind.
I think a lot of you people are jealous of the fact that we live in a gated community.
Well, a lot of them 5, are not going to be jealous anymore.
5,000 square foot homes.
Well, that's beautiful. I'm so happy for you, but that does not, because you have such a nice house, does not give you a right to kidnap a child and take them to McDonald's or take them to Arby's.
Spare
that doesn't
over
give
the
you
garage.
The right.
We have a spare bedroom over the garage.
I don't care. I don't care if you live in the White House.
Adriana, is that a Muslim name?
No, it's
what's that got to do with anything?
That name is unusual.
Thank you. It was my grandmother.
Is it Muslim?
Not that it's any of your business.
Is it Muslim?
No, it's Italian.
I'm sorry, but I don't recognize that name as being Italian.
Well, I'm sorry. Maybe you're not Italian.
Well, no,
what
I'm
does
not.
Does this have anything to
do
with kidnapping
children?
Do you
know what I am? Do you know what I am? I'm American.
Well, that's... I'm so happy
I'm,
for you.
I'm
what
suspicious
does this
that
have to do with anything?
It didn't come into your mind to say American. Why didn't you say that? You said Italian. I'm
because
Italian.
The name is Italian. It's not American.
Yeah, very suspicious.
Look, at both of you knuckleheads are not going to put this off on her. You're the guys that went in, pulled a kid's tooth, mailed back her pajama bottoms, took her into a strip bar. You drop her off at her kid at her dad's house as he's leaving for work, probably petrified, and he can smell liquor on your breath.
And it wasn't single barrel Jack Daniels.
Well, what was it then?
It was Grand Marnier.
Oh, bull crap.
Oh, my God.
Guy's boozed.
I don't drink single barrel Jack.
You take a child to a strip club. Is there something morally wrong with that?
No.
Okay.
Okay, I'm glad we were able to explain that.
Maybe
have you ever, Adriana, have you ever heard of Elizabeth Spart? Or is that not Italian enough for you?
Why do you keep saying that?
I guess her name isn't Italian
this show
enough.
For an hour.
All right.
You guys keep saying that. Yes, I've heard of her.
Yeah,
and yes, I've heard of kidnapping.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I heard something really good on Sports Talk Radio last night, but it wasn't said by a host. It was actually said by a caller, which is what usually happens, because you never hear anything from a Sports Talk Radio host. It's the least bit illustrative. It's not the... There's never anything said by... Like I said before, there's like five guys that can do sports talk in this country, and the rest of the stations, they should shut down for all of the good that they're doing anybody. I mean, I don't want to put a guy out of work, but I guess I do want to put a guy out of work. I really don't want to put anybody out of work, but in this case, I would put some guys out of work. But I did hear something very good last night as I was driving home. I heard a guy call. A guy was a caller, naturally, who said, you know, if there's going to be a baseball strike, I guess there's going to be a baseball strike, which, as you know, on this program, the Phil Hendry Show has come out in support of a baseball strike. We want to see a baseball strike. We bow to the East every night for a baseball strike. We get on a carpet and say prayers five times a day to the East, to Mecca, for a baseball strike, even though we are not Muslim. We don't care. We bow, we pray, we wrap our heads with towels. And why do I want to see a baseball strike? Well, for the obvious reason that that would be the final salad fork through the thorax of baseball. That would be the final nail in the coffin, and then we wouldn't have to be bothered with them anymore. But Barring that, I heard a guy say this. How come no big-name sports journalist, I mean top-of-the-line sports journalist, hasn't come out and himself suggested a fan strike? Now, you know the idea of a fan strike has been bandied about for centuries. It's been bandied about since baseball was invented back during the Iron Age, you know, the Egyptians, when the Jews first started playing baseball, when Abraham was leading them, or Moses, somebody was going across the desert, I forget who exactly was the tour guide that time. But as you know, baseball, fan strikes have been threatened, and fans can't get it together to get a fan strike going because there is no unifying, there's no real unifying voice. Now, fans have been abused for years by professional sports. Our emotional lives have been held hostage for many, many years. We don't ask anything. We pay $50, $60, $70 a ticket. We gladly get our parking where we can find it. We afford whatever pennant, whatever banner that our small child, with a little bit of chocolate smeared in his face, goes, I'm going to have banner. Yes, okay, I'll get you the Ram banner because I know it's $10, but and the bobble-headed doll. I'll get all of it. If we could just know that they would be loyal to us and that they would be a little bit generous with us at times, and more importantly and paramount above all else, that they win. Now, is that so much to ask? And what have we been repaid with? I'll tell you what we've been repaid with. Labor issues. And not just the usual labor issues where a man is entitled to life insurance, health insurance, where perhaps the old-timers are entitled to a pension. I agree with that. I think that there should be something for the old guys. We're talking about television revenues that go far and beyond the economies and the GNPs of Senegal, Ivory Coast, and a few other countries I could mention. We're talking about payrolls that bust the national budgets of some of the countries that the terrorists are from. Like, they got a the Yankees have got an annual budget in excess of what Afghanistan's going to have for the next, like, 10 years. And what do we have to... We gave Afghanistan $10 million. So they could maybe get their government up and running a little bit. That's about the same amount of bread that I think whoever, what's that guy, Rodriguez? Some guy's getting $10 million a year. Kevin Brown, Kevin Rodriguez, Alex Brown, who? Bernie Williams, one of those guys. Now they can have all the money they want, but I'd like to know this, and I think this is a very good question. I think this is a really good question, which I'm sure it's going to turn out being not so hot of a question when I say it with all the passion and all of the sweat just leaking from my pores, and then I see the phone lines are completely dead. But I'm sure it's going to be very fantastic when I say it. Now check it out. Why isn't there one sports, big-name sports journalist who's had the guts to come out and call for a fan strike, put his name in support of a fan strike, and really mobilize efforts toward a fan strike? If you think about it, if he was truly an objective journalist, if he was truly objectively viewing the game of baseball or any sport for that matter, he would see how fans have been taken advantage of. He would see how we can control the economics of the game of baseball, and he would also encourage us to take control by repaying the powers that be in baseball, the players and the owners, in kind for what they've been dishing out to us the last 7-8 years. So I say, where is Bob Costas? Now, I know he's a mealy mouth. I know he thinks he's funnier than he is. And I know that he kind of envisions himself to be the second generation, third generation Red Barber. He thinks he's folksy. He thinks he's Orson Welles with a cute haircut. But whatever he thinks he is, he ain't. And one of the things that Bob Costas could do is he could actually have somebody pay attention to him for a change. Someone would actually sit and listen to what he has to say instead of when Bob Costas comes on and does one of those commentaries about the crack of the bat and the green of the grass and the good old days of baseball. And we're not just sitting there going, I'm Bob Costas, and that's my opinion. Maybe somebody would actually pay attention to Bob Costas if he came out and he said, I call for a fan strike. You see, it's one thing for a guy in a talk show. It's one thing for a caller to say, I think we should all strike. I mean, I've heard guys say that for years, and, you know, my heart goes out to them, but they're just a schlub on a phone. Nobody's going to pay any attention to them. Who are they? Why doesn't Bob Costas come out and say it? Why doesn't Vin Scully? Oh, hit a little close to home now, aren't I? You got it, Vin Scully. And why doesn't Vin Scully say that? Because I remember Vin Scully saying to me after the 81 strike, he said this on TV. After the 81 strike, Scully said, look, I'm not taking anybody's side. I'm not on the owner's side. I'm not on the player's side. I'm not on anybody's side except yours. He was talking about the fans. Why doesn't Vince Scully finally say something contrary? I mean, he's got the very beautiful, the dulcet tones. He's got a voice like a German cello. He spins those yarns and tells those stories of those days of yore at the Polo Grounds and all of that malarkey, and it's beautiful and it's nice, and pull up a chair and join us for another 2 hours of Dodger baseball, and I'm down with it, and it's great. It's very folksy, and the ice plant looks good, and hey, man, Willie D, you should have seen him in his prime. But I'd like to hear old Vinny. Hey, Vin, look, seriously, man, this would be a beautiful capper on your career. Don't do what Mike Wallace did. Don't chicken out. Did you see the insider? I saw the insider. Mike Wallace chickened out. He chickened out on that whole Brown and Williamson deal. Right when he could have taken the pig by the ball, the horn by the, what do you take by the horns? The bull. He could have grabbed that bull by his horns. He chickened out, and I saw the whole thing. It was on the insider, that movie by Michael Mann, and I believe everything I see in the movie theaters. Vin, you could do it. You could cap off a great career by saying, baseball has been a fantastic sport, but I can see it just circling ever so gently clockwise, because we are in the Northern Hemisphere, circling ever so gently right down into the ever-engulfing, ever-belching toilet. And I don't want to see that happen, sports fans, so I, Vin Scully, encourage you to stay away from baseball games. Now, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're going to say. These guys make their living covering baseball. What kind of an idiot would Vin Scully be if, as a baseball broadcaster of the Dodger games, he would say, well, don't come to the games? I'll tell you why. Because they can't fire Vin Scully. He's unfireable. He's like Chick Hearn. You can't fire him. You can't fire Bob Costas. They're not going to let Bob Costas go. NBC has put every shekel, they've put every bit of blood, sweat, and tears in behind that mop-headed, cutesy-poo little act that Bob Costas trots out in front of us while we put one finger delicately to our lips every morning and try to keep our soup down. Well, that guy's with the, as the crack of the bat and the crack of the, well, I can't think of it right now. And I'm sitting there in my chair just, boom. I'm Bob Costas, and that's one reporter's opinion. Willie Mays, was he really dark? We'll be back with, you know, Costas, say something somebody's going to pay attention to. Call for a fan strike of baseball. Vinny, I love you. I grew up with you. I listened to you on the transistor radio. Call for a fan strike in baseball. What about Rome? What about my main man, Jim Rome? Not that anybody listened to him, but why doesn't he get all of his clones? Call for the big fan strike in baseball. Say it. Organize it. Do it. Jump all over it. Hunch it. Love it. Now, I ain't going to do that, see? Because there's a problem, and I'll tell you what the problem is. And I don't know. I don't mean anything personal, but sports journalists are the least credible of all journalists, and the reason is they have to kiss the ass of the very individuals and stories that they follow. You see what I'm saying? They really can't tell it like it is with a sports figure, because if they do, they're liable to get a baseball bat in the teeth the next time they walk into the clubhouse. Whereas a regular journalist, he can talk fairly upfront about these things because it's more fluid. News journalists move from story to story, and the beat, while it is static, while maybe a guy's got a White House beat, there's a million different stories within that. And there are a lot of different ways of getting information. You don't have to talk directly to the president, and 9 times out of 10 you won't. A sports guy can't do that. Sports guys are afraid that they're going to, quote, there's an old saying, bite the hand that feeds you. You've heard that one, right? Don't crap where you eat. You've heard that one too, right? That's never been truer in this world than it is in the world of sports. Jim Gray is a terrific journalist, but I don't think he's got the juice to. He's a real reporter. And Jim Gray's got guts. Don't get me wrong. Jim Gray is one of the few guys that isn't afraid to ask any question at all. He's one of the few guys that isn't afraid to ask any question at all. But I'm talking about these guys that fancy themselves spokespeople for the sport. And the two guys that come to my mind right away are Costas and Scully. And I know, and forgive me, I didn't grow up in Detroit. Is Ernie Harwell still doing games? I don't know. But a lot of these guys that are the legends, they're the venerated legendary voices and spokespeople of the game. Why aren't they? I'm going to tell you something right now. If Costas got on TV and called for a fan strike, well, maybe it wouldn't happen, but he'd get fired. And that way we'd never have to, I'm joking. What I'm saying, if he called for a fan strike, people would start talking about it. They might even do it. And he ain't going to get fired. Who else? Give me some other names. If he called for a fan strike, I'm telling you, it's the only way it's going to happen because baseball is done. Get it out of here. I'm tired of them trying to overinflate, trying to pump stale air into a sport that is done. And I don't care how many home runs are being hit this year. I don't give a crap about the 22-2 games. And I frankly am not excited about some of the young rookies coming up and all the great pitching and all that other baloney because that game is done. It's been done for a long time. The sooner it's out of our hair, the better. And the quicker it's out, the better. And the quickest way we could kill it is a real fan strike. I ain't calling for one because nobody'd follow me across the street for a stale can of Miller Lite. But I'm saying one of these guys that got some juice. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
From Los Angeles, the Jim Rome Show on the Premier Radio Networks.
Celebrity voice impersonator.
Sup? I'm Jim Rome, Jim Rome Show. I am Jim Rome. I'm the star of the Jim Rome Show. So we're going to talk a little bit about baseball. Baseball's so over. It is so over. Baseball's had it. Stick a fork in it. It's done. I do not understand why people watch baseball. Sean Green, got no game, can't ball. Sean Green's an old lady out there. Baseball sucks. I'm calling for a fan strike. I want all the fans out there, especially the next tour stop we're doing in Broken Whistle. And we had a beautiful tour stop in Apalachicola. Fantastic. In Ogallala, Nebraska, our latest tour stop. Anybody out there? Because I'm calling for a fan strike. It's done. Goodbye. Thank you. Baseball is dead, you think? All right, let's go to some calls, okay? Let's go to RC. RC at D-Town. Hey, RC, what up?
What up, Romy? Thanks for the vine.
What up? What's going on?
Well, the clones don't understand that we gotta strike baseball. And by the way, Romy, I was at your last tour stop in Broken Whistle, Arkansas. That was cool to see you get over on the Arkansas Razorback coach, Clem Clemson. But the
out. I will comment, though, on the tour stop we had in Busted Whistle. It was awesome. Clones rotten style. A lot of 300-pound women lifting up their tube tops, showing the flapjacks. It was awesome. It was unbelievable. It was so cool. It was classic. It was classic. Let's go to another phone call. Yeah, PJ, what's up?
You're not Jim Rome. You're Phil Henry pretending to be Jim Rome. You're Phil Henry pretending to be Jim Rome.
Okay, we'll be right back. Next hour, we've got Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays, Lou Gehrig, Babe Ruth.
And the second you lie, second break.
This is the Jim Rome Show.
You're a lying piece of... Not Jim Rome.
This is the Jim Rome Show.
Cool. All right, 1-800-449-8686. I'm not Jim Rome, but that's a show we'd like to hear. That'd be awesome. Why doesn't he get a guy on? I would love to hear him get on somebody like Allen Iverson and just call him a dirty, rotten, little African-American gangbanger. Why wouldn't he do that? He called Jim Everett Chris Everett. Anyway, he did. 1-800-449-8686. I'm trying to think here, though, of big names in the world of sport that could actually move fans to strike baseball. And I can only come up with Costas and maybe, I don't even know if Costas is the guy. I'm talking to Janice about this. She goes, Costas, everybody's irritated by him. I know, but they still watch him. They still watch the guy. They still think he's, They still think he's got something to say. So there's Costas, there's Vin Scully, there's, because I don't want, what about Jim Palmer? What about some ex-player? How about Sandy Koufax? He'd never do it because he used to play. But wouldn't that be great if, like, a venerated old guy like Sandy Koufax said, the game sucks, I wish I'd been a bowler. How about Pete Rose? So many people dig Pete Rose. I saw Pete Rose across the street here at Sicily one day, and I went over to him and I said, hi, Pete, I'm Phil Hendry. I work over at Premier Radio Network. And he went, that's great. And that was a lot of fun for me. Pete Rose would be fantastic because there's so many people that really still follow his career and wish him well and want him in the Hall of Fame and are huge Pete supporters. And I'm sure he's got the biggest axe to grind with baseball that any guy possibly could, given the fact that he, you know, he wants into the Hall of Fame. He wants back into the good graces. What about Pete Rose? I call for a fan strike. That would be great. What about Ted Williams? What about Marge Schott, the drunken owner of the Cincinnati Reds? I think she is a drunk, so no, I'm not kidding. Maybe I should just say chain-smoking, Nazi-loving. That's better. I would be loath to call a woman a alcoholic. It is very unmanly. Chain-smoking, Nazi-loving owner of the Cincinnati Reds, Marge Schott. What about her? What about someone like Fred Rogan? What about somebody like Fritz Coleman? What about someone, you know, big names? Heavy hitters. Who? How about Tommy Lasorda? How about somebody, yeah, like Tommy. How about somebody from the world of football? What about, is Jack Buck still alive? We need him. How about Jack Buck, Kurt Gowdy, Tommy Lasorda, and Ted Williams? A whole bunch of old guys, and then they just commit mass suicide at the end. I'm just telling you, it would take a big name to keep people away en masse. And I'm listening to this baloney. Hey, a guy that bought himself some season tickets, and you think that he's really going to stay away? Yes, that's exactly what I think he's going to do. And besides, the teams aren't going to lose financially because they got all that season ticket money. Will the teams also make a big load with concessions, parking, merchandise, etc.? The ticket sales, that's a drop in the bucket compared to this other stuff. And their broadcast revenue, if nobody's listening to the games, nobody's buying the products, the advertisers go away, guess what? Nobody wants to buy the rights to their stinking games. 1-800-449-8686. I must have thought of everybody because ain't nobody calling up with any other ideas. But then that's the way it is for me. That's the way it is here at the Phil Hendry Show. I give and I give and I give and I give and I give. And hardly do I ever take. Just constant. It's just 3 solid hours of giving quality, groundbreaking, revolutionary radio. And what do I get in return? Just a little, you know, somebody blows me a kiss. Some beautiful blonde in a T-bird blows me a kiss and motors away at 70. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now it's time for me to get angry about stuff in the Middle East. Yes, every week Phil sits here and screams and yells about things that people think are 10,000, 15,000, even 20,000 miles away because most people don't know their geography. Phil rants and raves about things far removed from the tranquil American paradise, even though on 9/11 we proved that we were not alone in this world. Yes, it's time for Phil to get bugged and bothered about the eventual destruction of our country. Now, I just saw on CNN the following scroll. President Bush condemns Israeli bus bombing in the strongest possible terms. And I went, man, that's great. I feel solid about that, man. You know me, or maybe you don't know me. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. I didn't like Bush when he was elected, but after 9/11, I stood behind him, as all good Americans did. And I said, Mr. President, you are the commander-in-chief. Go, baby, go. And he was going. Sent our guys out there. Made a bunch of them Al-Qaeda arrests, put the fear of Jesus in the bin, made his head turn from beautiful, wavy brunette to stark gray within 30 days. I mean, he put the fear of Christ into that guy. But then after that, what happened? Israel. It's a country not unlike our own. It's a democracy. I don't know. Maybe you ought to visit. You know, I'm going to do a show from down there. We'll just keep doing the funny voices on our shtick. What do you guys think about going to Israel? I've already actually done the baby steps toward doing it. I've actually contacted my sources, and I don't want to say who, but they're very high up in the Israeli government, and I'd like to do a remote broadcast from the resort town of Jaffa. Now, I'm talking about beautiful beaches, tons of lesbians, it's just beautiful beaches and pizzerias, lots of places where a suicide bomber, where you could go get a pizza. And we're going to do the show from down there, and if anybody on my staff is too gutless to go, you better raise your hand now. Okay, Chris, have fun sitting here, you poser. We're going to go down to a kibbutz and raise a glass, mazel tov it, just about 15 yards from some guy who's got, like, you know, war paint on and an Uzi laying in a ditch. See you later, Chris. I ain't kidding either. We're going to do the show from Israel after they've signed a peace treaty with the Arab states. But we are going to do a show from Israel. But in any event, the latest word now comes that the United States, in all of our bluster, in all of our saber rattling, and in all of the official posing that we're doing, the United States of America talked Israel out of a legitimate, justified, and probably extremely helpful attack on Syria that would have been carried out last month. As you know, Hezbollah, or you may not know, maybe you don't know what Hezbollah is, but it's, they ain't nice guys, and they're guys that are a organization of, quote, Islamic fundamentalists, end quote, who want the destruction of Israel and, oh yeah, America. And they were planning an attack from the northern borders of Israel, the southern border of Lebanon. They're being funded by Syria. Israel was going to attack Syria. The United States blocked a major military offensive by Israel against Syria last month, but shares Israeli concerns that the regime of Syrian President Assad is openly arming Hezbollah. Yeah. Israel officials said the attack was to have taken place last month in response to a spate of Hezbollah strikes along the Lebanese border with the Jewish state. The official said Israel's military had mobilized. You remember when they mobilized? Well, that's what it was for. Remember when they mobilized? Well, that's what it was for. They weren't going to go into Lebanon and get Hezbollah. They were going to go into Syria. And they would have had Assad crapping in his pants. Because Assad hasn't had a shooting war yet with Israel. And until you've had a shooting war with Israel, you don't really know what fun it can be. Why, you can have whole portions of your country taken over. You might not even get a plane off the ground. Your soldiers might not even get the guns off of their backs before they're shot dead. It's great. And then, when you're humiliated before the entire world and your Arab army is once again vanquished, you can look like a complete a-hole to your people. It's fun going to war against Israel. So apparently Assad thinks he's some kind of a man, and he has been arming Hezbollah. Officials said the turning point for Syria came during a weekend visit by U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell to Damascus. They said Powell warned Assad that Israel was preparing a massive attack and that Washington would not restrain the Jewish state. He said the Israeli military and political leaders appear baffled by Assad's willingness to escalate tension. He said many attribute this to inexperience. He doesn't know what military defeat is. Maybe when he does know, he'll think differently. End quote. But what did we do? We told him to back off. We didn't not restrain him. We restrained him. And meanwhile, we got a president saying, in the strongest possible terms, just exactly when are we going to move anyway? This is exactly the tactic used by Chamberlain at Munich. Anybody ever hear of Munich, the Munich Pact? Do you know what that was? Hitler was down in Munich with Chamberlain, who was the prime minister of Britain, and he wanted the Sudetenland from Czechoslovakia. He wanted that piece of land because he said there were German nationals there, and they were being mistreated. Now, what does that remind you of? There were German nationals in the Sudetenland, and they were being mistreated. And we want our German nationals to stop being mistreated, or by God, Germany's going to invade, and then you'll see what you'll be sorry. And so Chamberlain said, aha, well, what we'll do is we'll just go ahead and cede that portion of Czechoslovakia to you. And do you promise you won't attack? And Hitler said, yes, that's all we want. And they signed the paper. They appeased a dictator. They appeased the greatest mass murderer in the history of man. And in so doing, opened the door to World War II. What do you think we're opening the door to right now? What do you think's going on right now with we condemn in the strongest possible terms, but we better just kind of sit back and we just got to hope that this peace mission works and hope that that peace mission works? Ain't nothing going to work with a mad dog but a bullet. And people will say, you are irresponsible saying these things, man. You're crazy. All you're going to do is piss people off, and then where will we be? Where do you think you are right now, man? I just read the news where the FBI is looking for Al-Qaeda right off the coast of California. They're afraid they came in by way of some kind of a container ship, some freight ship. I just read again where security chiefs across the country got together in a closed-door meeting, said that a terrorist attack in the United States this summer is inevitable. Inevitable. We got a war, folks. And it's not just a war against Al-Qaeda. It's a war against that whole lot of them. The Islamists, the Islamic fundamentalists, and whoever is helping them out. Bush said it on the 20th. I don't know why the guy isn't acting. I don't know what he seems to be waiting for. I don't know what he thinks he's going to achieve. I don't, maybe he, you know, he's a good man. He probably wants to keep people out of harm's way as long as he possibly can. We got Saudi Arabia bust 313 Al-Qaeda because, you know, that's just to say, see, aren't we good guys? Yeah, you're real good guys, but you busted 13 after how many months? You guys are giving them money. You're arming them. You're training them. You're creating them. You're sending money to Palestinians so they'll blow themselves up. Saudi Arabia is just one big problem, man. All right, forget it. Sorry I brought it up. No, seriously, I'm sorry I brought it up. Okay, I'm sorry. You know, I,
What are you doing? Didn't I tell you that this is music hour?
I know, you told me it was music hour, but I...
So what are you going on with Syria and Israel and pretending like you know something about it?
Just
do what you're supposed to do. Now, this is Musical Melodies Hour, and you're supposed to do dedications. And you're going on and on and on about Syria and Israel and all of this. I told you, shut up. You don't know anything about it, do you?
No, I don't.
Now, do it! Do it!
All right, okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Johnny Java, and our music selection comes to us from Ernest Platt. And Ernest lives in Ogallala, Nebraska. This is Moonscapes. It's 43 after the hour right now on Just Beautiful Music, KSUC. KSUC. We'll be right back with more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Jenna said that I'm not inviting you guys to call, that I'm just doing all the talking. She says that I'm a big fat mouth and that I'm scaring people. And she says that I better start getting some phone calls on this show and quit dominating the airtime and just cut it out, she said. Cut it out or she's leaving this program. She's going back to Vancouver. She's going to open up a raw bar. She's going to rent out jet skis. To hell with all of this. She said, you better give out the phone number, Hendry, and start giving some other people some airtime, or so help me God, I'm jumping. And we're 15 floors up. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. And then there's India and Pakistan. Ah, yes. India and Pakistan. Yes, a very tropic, mysterious part of the world. Boy, did those guys play me like a freaking German cello. Last month, I'm thinking they're going to war. I think there's a whole bunch of those Muslim fundamentalists, which there are, in Pakistan, and the freedom-loving, democracy-loving Indians, which they are too. But the fact is, they weren't going to war. They were just upping the price. That's what they do, and they've been doing it for the last, oh, I don't know, what do you figure, 40 years? What they do is they threaten to go to war. They escalate the tension. America runs over there, promises them all kinds of weapons and money. Then they go, oh, okay, and then they de-escalate the tension. They get their weapons and money, and then they go back to the bullcrap they were doing. And then another 10 years from now, they'll escalate it back up. We'll run back over there, give them more weapons and money, and then they go, oh, okay, cool. And they've been doing it for 50 years, and they just played us again. Played us like chumps. How come we keep falling for that? One of the reasons is because when we don't play it, they go to war. But that's the reason why they do it. They must get together beforehand and go, okay, I got a great idea. No, this is beautiful. It's beautiful. What? I'll pretend like I'm shooting off missiles. You scream about some terrorists, and they'll come over, and Paulo, you know, he'll look like an idiot with his tongue hanging on the floor, and where do I drop my bags? I got to get into meetings, and, you know, and we'll offer him some of that yogurt tea like we always do. Give him some of that Sri Lankan food. It's pretty hot. You know, he'll be freaking snorting that chili powder from here to tomorrow. And then he comes into the meeting, and we pretend like we're going to go to a nuclear-level DEFCON 6 or some of that other bullcrap that he doesn't understand. And the guy gives us the bread. You rape, you pillage some women, it'll be great. All right. Thanks. And that's exactly what happened. Rumsfeld ran over there like a good puppy dog, and what do we got? You know, we're giving him more bread. We got a $100 billion deficit. Listen to me. I sound like an adult. I sound like I know what I'm talking about. Which, of course, I don't. You want to know about the world, you just leave it to old Phil. You'll be more confused than anything. Give me 5 minutes and I'll blow your mind. Pamela Anderson has a new column, and so does Amy Fisher. Yes, Pamela Anderson and Amy Fisher will be writing newspaper columns, and why not? What better way to stimulate circulation than getting a woman who's barely legal and is barely legible, like Amy Fisher, to write a newspaper column? I'll read it. What do you think that's going to read like? I are angry about, you know, it'll just, don't even edit it. I'll read it if you don't edit it. If they'll get Amy Fisher to write a newspaper column and not have an editor, I will be religiously reading that. I hurt you, H-E-A-R-T-U. Hi, everyone. I are Amy Fisher. And I are pissed. Dun, 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 dun. The Amy Fisher commentary. I are not know about you, but me think 9/11 not good. Me not like no, not me, no, not. No, too many double negatives, for God's sake. I thought you said I didn't have an editor. Well, I can't take it. And Pamela Anderson will have her own column, and she'll have nothing but pictures of herself, and then just little cute phrases like, always be good to your kids. I don't know. Pam's will have a big photo of her nude on the thing, obviously. The big thumbs up. Restaurant reviews. She'll talk about her favorite white wine. You know, what Pamela Anderson will do is she'll just give away how she'll never be able to kind of live down those white trash roots, no matter how good looking and how big the house. You know what I'm saying? So she'll still be recommending the, you know, sharp Chardonnay from Corbett Canyon or something. For a Chardonnay, I really go for Gallo. And for vacation, there's nothing like La Fonda in Baja. And then if she likes something, it'll get two breasts up. I don't know. 2 feet up, 2 feet down. You know the joke. But now let's get back to Amy Fisher, because frankly, your material that you're writing here isn't that funny, Janice. Oh, it's Chris. Well, no wonder. Amy Fisher, though, is a great opportunity, because if they don't edit the column, you're going to have an entirely readable, not readable, but it'll be very entertaining to read her talking nonsense, you know? I think it'll be great. Me think Matt Damon not do plays. Me think Matt Damon better in moving picture type movie show. Me think. That's what it's called. Amy Fisher. Me think. And then every other week, Joey Buttafuoco. Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, like, all right. 1-800-449-8686 is the Phil Henry Show. And I was telling you about our website and our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirts. Well, I'm going to tell you about something else we're putting into our souvenir shop, and that is the Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt, available Monday on the Phil Henry Show website. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt is black and silver, great for all occasions. On the back it says, we take a peek over the shoulder of the police with Jay Santos' signature, and on the front, over the left breast, an official Citizens Auxiliary Police Badge. Well, it's going to be available on Monday from the Phil Henry Show Souvenir Shop. Now, all you have to do is log on to philhenryshow.com. That's the official website of the Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. and get your backstage pass, and it'll give you access to all of our archives, all of our 30-day archives, all of our audio archives, our Listen Live line. As a matter of fact, we've added like 75 new clips into our audio archives, also other features such as Phil's Diary and the Wall of Female Listeners. We only have 17 women listening to the show, and you can see pictures of each and every one of them if you log onto our website and go to our Wall of Female Listeners. All 17 women that listen to the show have their pictures up there. So check that out. But when you go to our souvenir shop come Monday, there will not only be the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, which is a beautiful thing in black and royal blue, and also the Best of the Phil Henry Show 1997 through 2001 CDs that are available for $20, $350 shipping and handling, and all of the money goes to my friend's place. But you'll also be able to get a hold of the new Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. Now, Jay Santos endorses this. It is an official Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. You can walk around wearing this thing. It doesn't say, I listen to Phil Henry. It's very understated. It's very minimalist. It's very cotton is what it is. It's like 100% cotton. So go to the Phil Henry Show website Monday and pick up all of your Phil Henry Show merchandise, from the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt to our Best of CDs to our Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. It's all there in the souvenir shop on the Phil Henry Show website, philhenrieshow.com, this Monday.
Now, Phil Hendry.
Terry Barton is a forestry technician accused of starting the Hayman fire in Colorado. She's allegedly set fire to a letter that was sent to her by her husband, dropped it into a ring that is supposed to contain campfires, but apparently it's spread. She lied, allegedly, to investigators and said that she didn't have any part in starting any fire. And now she's been arrested and charged with the Hayman fire, one of several that are raging out of control in Colorado. Joining us on our newsmaker line is Dean Wheeler, who is a marriage family counselor, to comment on the motivations of somebody like this, someone so hurt, someone so devastated by something she read in a letter or perhaps something somebody said to her, that she would, be criminally negligible. Or negligent, I should say. Dean, how are you?
I'm real good, Phil. Thank you for having me.
So, not saying that she started the fire on purpose. It is alleged that she was criminally negligent. After reading this letter, what goes through the mind of somebody when they've received a kind of a shock like this?
Well, I feel for Terry. I think what she read in that letter was so devastating, and I think what she read in that letter was probably so insulting that she needed an act. And again, this is just my opinion, but she needed to do something that would express the pain and the devastation that she felt emotionally. Because one of the things you want to do, Phil, and I think it's important, is to sweep the past away. And I think Terry must have been horribly hurt by what she read.
Can you imagine what was in that letter? Can you give us any idea?
Well, I'm sure it had something to do with her weight. Men can be terribly cruel, suggesting diets. But for her to set fire to an entire area like that, he must have been brutally cruel. It probably was highly personal, talking perhaps about her ability as a sex partner, or that he couldn't stand the smell of her, or things that are so devastating. And of course she wants to act out.
Yeah, but she set fire to what amounted to 103,000 acres, destroying a lot of resource.
Well, it's a horrible thing to lose a resource, but I'm trying to get you to see something else, Phil. I'm trying to get your listeners to see something else. We are talking about the value of a human life, and we so often forget how important our feelings are. We value people's feelings, Phil, And I'll tell you, all the forces in the world are not worth the torment and heartache of one woman, one fat woman, and
But lives were threatened by this fire. You're not justifying, you know.
Well, no one died. No animal life. If you say that there, no human beings died in this fire, I'm a marriage counselor. I'm not a forestry technician or a forest ranger, but I do know people. And I guess you're suggesting that what she did was worse than what happened to her.
I'm saying setting fire the way she did, even if it was by mistake, she lied about it. That is the allegation anyway, is a very serious thing that could have killed people, and for all we know, may still, because this fire still rages.
Well, Phil, I'm not one of these tree huggers that believes forests are the end-all, be-all when one woman's feelings. She gets a letter from an ex-husband telling her toilet habits are despicable. He comments on her complexion. He makes fun of her teeth. This could be devastating.
Well, you don't know that was in the letter.
But I can well imagine that he probably commented on her toilet habits. What would make a woman so angry she'd want to set fire to 103,000 acres? I think we have to look at that. And I think we have to have compassion for that person. And let's stop talking so much about the loss of natural resources when trees are not human beings. And trees are...
Thousands of acres, Mr. Wheeler, thousands of acres of natural resource was lost by a woman's careless and idiotic behavior.
All right, Phil, before you get all of that, I want to ask you a question. It's going to let me know where you're coming from, okay? And this is a question. It's what we call a moral compass, and I do this in my practice. And I want your listeners out there to ask this question themselves, too. If it would save one baby's life, would you set fire to all the trees in the world?
I don't think that's fair. I think
no. Answer the question fairly. Just go with me, Phil. If it would save one innocent baby's life, would you set fire to all the trees in the world?
If it would save one innocent kid's and one
innocent baby, a brand new baby, a baby with all that life, would you set fire to all the trees in the world?
Yes, I would. I mean, no, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't.
Well, which is it?
No, I would not. I would not. I would not burn all the trees.
You'd let the kid die.
I would let that child die. I would, yeah. I would not.
Well, Mr. Henry, I think there is a job for you at an abortion clinic manning a vacuum, because that's about as heartless a thing as I've ever heard.
I cannot see burning every tree in the world to save one baby. I'm sorry.
Well, like I said, there's a job for you at an abortion clinic manning any one of the many vacuums they have there.
So, in other words, we're is this a pro-life discussion we're having here?
No, we're talking about a woman and her feelings and her humanity, and you fail to see that.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. You're not a doctor, correct?
No, Phil, I have my master's in marriage counseling.
All right, Dean Wheeler is with us. He's a marriage counselor from Northern California. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. So, in other words, this woman is allowed to set fire to all of these trees just so long as we understand her feelings. Is that it?
Phil, you just got done saying that you would kill a baby rather than burn down all the trees in the world. Didn't you say that?
This is not going to be about me, okay?
Well, didn't you just say that?
Yes, I did.
Well, you've just committed media suicide, because what you're saying is you would rather see a baby stabbed through with a carving knife than to see some trees burned down that could grow again.
I didn't say that I want to see a baby stabbed through with a carving knife.
Well, does that change your opinion? You see, what we need to do is embrace Terry's pain. Terry Barton is a woman who got a letter from a husband telling her that her bathroom habits were despicable and her breath was lousy. And that can only humiliate a woman who her entire life is spent trying to be attractive for men.
So therefore she goes out and burns down an entire forest.
So therefore we focus on her pain and we stop the endless caterwauling and crying and rubbing our eyes like infants about a forest. The trees are going to grow back. What about Terry and her pain? And again, Mr. Henry, you committed media suicide by saying you would let a baby die rather than all the trees in the world burning down.
I do not want to see all the trees in the world burning down. All the trees in the world burning down would mean that the people in the world would be affected. The oxygen level in the world would be affected.
Well, that's your hypothesizing, like a lot of tree huggers and like a lot of pro-choicers. But I'm talking, so in other words, you'd want to see a baby gutted and cooked. And
I didn't say anything about a baby gutted and cooked.
Well, would that change your opinion? What if the baby was gutted and cooked? Then would you see that?
That you know what? That is an imbecilic thing to say to me.
Well, does it change your opinion?
I'm not going to go there with you. I refuse to go there with you.
Well, so, again, you see how difficult it is. You'd rather see a baby gutted and cooked rather than burned.
I didn't say that, did I?
You said you'd rather see one die.
You gave me the initial choice. You said, would you rather see a baby die or see all the trees in the world burn down? And I said, okay, I'd rather see the baby die than see all the trees burn down. I didn't say gutted and cooked.
Well, Phil, again, what we're talking about here is a moral choice, and Terry Barton, that forestry technician, is a lady who was so deeply offended by what was in that letter. Women have a very difficult time with criticism. They can't handle criticism. And so they do extreme things. In this case, she set fire to a forest. But I've seen women. I had an ex-girlfriend who carved up all of my furniture. She went into my kitchen. She took out a set of steak knives that were German-made that I had just purchased. And she set about cutting and slicing into all of my furniture, which was all handcrafted.
Why?
Because I broke up with her. So you can see. And remember what Shakespeare said, hell hath no fury.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Rocky. Go ahead, Rocky.
Yes, Mr. Wheeler, it's not only women who do dramatic things.
Well, that's true.
Upset, men have killed their entire families to keep their wives from leaving them. But I'm more concerned about your equating the death of a baby with the loss of all the forests in the world. We have to realize that we're interdependent with other species.
What is your answer
we can't
to that
just
question,
give
then,
up
Rocky? Rocky, what is your answer to that question, Rocky? Would you see a baby die to save the forests, or would you save that baby for the forests?
I don't think the baby's life would be worth living without the forests on the earth.
So you would
it's
also
living in a vacuum,
right,
and it's
right.
not the same
so
as aborting a baby.
Then you would also
it is
work
not
an abortion
the same
clinic.
As aborting a baby.
You'd also
you're,
be manning a vacuum at an abortion
no,
clinic.
No, no, you are totally
really
off
sick.
Base with that.
That is really
no,
sick.
No, that is
no,
not the same
you,
thing.
No, both of you would man a vacuum at an abortion clinic because
no.
the child to you is dispensable. And the fact that you would take an ice pick and stick it into the brain of a child to save a cougar and a bush, to me, is absolutely reprehensible.
I would never do that. I would never take...
You just said that you would. You just said,
no,
I would never take an ice pick and stick it in a baby's neck. You're,
no,
you're,
wait,
you're
no.
Saying,
you said for the forests
you
in the
would
world.
Destroy, you would destroy the earth. You would destroy the earth so that one fowl could have maybe a miserable life. I think this human...
Trees grow back, Rocky.
Over,
trees grow
you
back.
Know,
trees grow
everything
back.
Everything is just ridiculous.
Trees grow back.
You're totally
and
ridiculous.
I'm ridiculous. You were the one
you
who
are.
Said you were the one who said you'd throw a child under the wheels of a truck.
No, no,
she
I did
not.
You're lying.
She
you're
did not.
That up.
Now that is a lie,
you're
and you know that.
I did not say that.
Well, what
you're
is
totally
the difference?
Making it
I want to know what the difference is. You both said you would sacrifice a child for forests. Now,
no,
what difference does it make whether you? Yeah, you
would,
said you would gladly
would you burn
throw
down
a child.
All the forests in the world if it would save one child's life. Well, I don't know how you make that connection
right.
between that and stabbing
right.
a baby with an ice
And
pick.
Rocky
That's
and
ridiculous.
I both said that we didn't think the forests burning down. We wanted to save the forests because what would the life of a child...
And you chose the vacuum at an abortion clinic. All right, thank you.
No.
No, we I'm did not.
Yes, you did.
Aborting a child does not save the forest. There's right. no equivalent there. You're making something up
well,
that doesn't even
the
relate to reality.
The two of you said that you would gladly shove a child's hand into a
no.
garbage disposal.
No.
No, we did not.
No.
All right, Rocky,
and,
thank you.
You know, this guy's totally,
yeah.
totally off.
But I'm trying to show you the pain that Terry Barton's feeling.
Hold on. All right. Thank you, Rocky. 1-800-449-8686. Betty, go ahead.
Hey, you know something, Mr. Wheeler?
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to see your hand stuck in this. Garbage disposal. I like to see somebody gut you.
Oh, so you kill children too?
Let me tell you something.
You kill the unborn
let
too?
Let me tell you something right now. You are a jerk. And anybody that stands up for that woman for setting the state of Colorado on fire.
She was in
I'm
pain.
About 25 miles from this fire. I've got six children that are going to be evacuated and lose their home.
Well, at least
and
they're still around.
And you're sitting there accusing everybody of saying something stupid when you're the one that's saying that we would do things like that.
Betty?
Well, I'd like to see you carved up, mister.
Betty, I'd like you to answer my question.
And how do you know what was in the letter? If
Betty?
You didn't write it, you sick son of a bitch.
Betty, you're very emotional.
Goodbye.
I want you to answer my question, Betty. Betty?
Because I wouldn't talk to such a son of a bitch like you.
She was
I'll
hurt.
Tell
she
you,
was
but
hurt.
I won't listen to
she
you.
Was hurt
so goodbye.
Her husband called her fat. And you know what that does to you, Betty, when people call you fat. Betty? All right, she's gone.
You know you... something? I
Betty?
Am...
All right, we can dump that last little piece there.
My goodness, she's very...
Yeah. Hostile. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're with Dean Wheeler. He's a marriage counselor who believes that we're ignoring Terry Barton's feelings, the forest technician who is alleged to have started the fire. What's a few burned trees against a woman's feelings? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dean Wheeler is with us. He is a marriage counselor. You're a therapist, correct, Mr. Wheeler?
I deal in marriage and child counseling, yes, Mr. Henry.
And you believe that Terry Barton, the forestry technician who was accused of setting these fires, her feelings are being ignored.
Mr. Henry, all I'm saying is that Terry read in that letter something that was very hurtful to her, and she acted out. And I would think that a woman wiping away the horror of heartache by burning down some forest isn't going to be made into a federal case. And all we're asking is that they let her go before they make fools of themselves.
Who lets her go?
The federal authorities.
I mean, and then this question about what's more valuable, the child of a life or all the forests in the world.
And you chose aborting a child.
I didn't say aborting. You simply asked me about the life of a child, and I said the forests are more important.
Yes, that's what you said. And you're entitled to that choice, Phil. But now we see what we've got here, a bunch of tree huggers versus the life of one woman.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Susan, go ahead.
Pardon me?
Susan, go ahead. You're on the air. And I understand you were evacuated, but you're back home now.
Yes, we are.
You're in the Denver area, right?
We live in Rockville Park.
Susan, this is Dean, and I'm so happy to hear that your family's all right.
Okay, yeah, we are, but we're still on red alert as to the evacuated, but we moved back in yesterday, and then, of course, the winds have shifted toward Denver.
But Susan, you understand that if it was going to save the life of a baby, you wouldn't mind your home being burned down, would you?
I don't understand. I thought the issue here was basically a person starting a forest fire. Am I incorrect? I've never heard of
that. The issue really is
No. What is the topic of this talk show?
Well, the topic is, what are the feelings of this young lady that made her start this fire?
Okay, May I please finish?
This is a woman with a broken heart.
Okay, let me finish my sentence.
Certainly, Susan.
The latest information is, and this is not a fact, probably the letter had nothing to do with it, if there even was a letter, that she started the... Wait, let me finish my sentence.
Okay,
you're touching me again.
No, that's all
that
right.
That she probably started the forest fire to put it out so that she could be a hero. That is what we're hearing. No, I'm not finished. You're interrupting
call
again.
For help.
You are interrupting me again. May I have the courtesy of finishing, please?
Go right ahead.
And then
Susan.
I will let you talk.
All right, go right ahead. I completely apologize. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You're right.
And then also.
And you do have the right to say what you want to say.
I'm trying to, if you would.
Well, go ahead. I just want you to know that I would like to say something too.
You're doing it again.
Dean, Mr. Wheeler, would you please be quiet?
I'm certainly going to be quiet. I just want to know that I will be able to talk. Right when she's done.
Where do you find these people?
Would you please just
anyway,
go ahead?
Anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is your information is probably
But you didn't
incorrect.
Answer my question. Am I going
to... What question do you want me to answer?
I get to talk too?
Yes, you'll get to talk. This lady has the floor.
When I get finished, I will answer
as a woman,
the question.
Should you,
as long as it is the issue...
Have you ever had your heart broken?
You're not,
you're not telling me anything about yourself. You're not telling me anything.
Excuse me. What is the issue of this talk show?
The
issue of this talk show is a lady starting a forest fire. This person
started
a forest fire. Okay, I'm on a cell phone.
You're on a cell phone, all right.
And it has nothing to do... I'm in Denver. And it has nothing to do with her feelings. That's totally irrelevant. her feelings don't matter. What this trained employee did, who was trained not to do this, deliberately went and started this fire. And do you know what? If those trees burn down, what it's doing to our water system here in Denver, do you have any idea the people that it's going to affect?
Well,
hello?
I think you're making a very good point, but
I am making a good point. I'm here. I've been to the meetings. I've been with the firefighters.
I understand.
Okay? And as you say, people
baby.
Have, wait a second,
a
people have
baby.
Not died yet. We don't know that. This is out of control. We do not know that there will not be life lost. We don't know that.
Very good, Susan. And she's living it.
Well,
and you want to know what else?
I want to tell you, Susan,
people's livelihoods, their homes are gone. Are gone.
Yeah,
and unless you have
baby,
ever, I am not finished.
Pink,
we're not talking about babies. Unless
baby would be
you leave, do you always interrupt and not listen like this? Is this your nature and you're supposed to be a marriage counselor? How would you listen to your clients? They never get to speak. Amazing. May I finish?
Well, how do you live with yourself with the blood of a newborn
May
on
I
your
finish?
Hands?
Now, also, what I was saying was the fact that...
We have to break, Susan.
Okay.
All right, hold on, Susan. Will you let me do that?
What?
Will you let me say we're breaking, not you?
All right.
We have to break, Susan.
I put her on hold.
Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Dean Wheeler. He's a marriage counselor who believes that the feelings of Terry Barton, the woman alleged to have started this forest fire, should be taken into consideration, that her feelings are more important than any forest that can grow back. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Dean Wheeler is with us, marriage counselor, talking about the forest the fires in Colorado. The Hayman fire is alleged to have been started by a forest technician named Terry Barton. Did she start the fire because she got a Dear Jill letter? Did she start the fire because she was looking for attention? We're here with Dean Wheeler to talk about the psychological implications. And you've been saying that her feelings are more important than the trees, which, of course, is something I've got a difficult time getting past.
If I could just quote a great song by a songwriter by the name of Bruce Coburn. And the song's lyrics go as follows. If a tree falls in a forest, does anyone hear it? Well, the answer, I think, if we were all here with Mr. Coburn, we would say the answer is no. No one really hears it and no one cares. But, Phil, I put it to you now. If a baby were to be gored with a barbecue skewer, you would hear it. You would hear it. You see what I'm saying, Phil?
If a baby were gored with a barbecue, what you're saying to me?
Yes. You would hear the suffering of a child much more than you would hear a tree falling. A baby, Phil, going through the windshield of a car, that's loud. But a tree falling in the woods is not.
If no one hears it.
If no one hears it.
1-800-449-8686. John, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I'm amazed that, first, Susan and your family are very fortunate to make it out of a fire
absolutely,
like
yes,
that.
Absolutely.
It's incomprehensible to me, first, for this man to even consider saying that comparing the death of a child to and you being an abortionist, because this woman's feelings were hurt. And it was necessary for her to start a fire for whatever reason, attention or something.
Right.
There's no comparison. Everyone on this planet gets their feelings hurt daily or from time to time. So does that mean we should all strike out and go start fires?
Well, I think we need
bomb things, burn things, hurt people.
Understanding. We need understanding. And
understanding and actions are two different things. Feelings are not a tangible asset. No one's hurt physically by a feeling. It's an emotional thing.
Wait a minute.
I have to deal with feelings every day.
Terry probably got a letter from her husband that told her she was a fat cow. You tell me that doesn't hurt?
In this marriage of a conflagration of that size and endangering
well,
that many lives?
Let's move over to that. Let's move over to that idea then. All right, so her feelings were hurt.
Are you comparing me to an abortionist?
Well, I'm going to ask you the question.
go ahead.
What's more important?
Someone's feelings or someone's life?
No, no, no.
That's really the question. And the answer to that is what we need to do is what's right. Yes, people's feelings get hurt from time to time. And if this is the kind of advice that you give people, I mean, you're a tawdry marriage counselor at best.
That's a good word, John.
Oh, that's a good word, John. I see you, Phil, doing what we call in psychology, you're interjecting. You're identifying with him.
You don't have to psychoanalyze me. I agreed with the man. It's a good word.
You know what? I don't even really care what his opinion is. I just know that I would not do or light a fire because my feelings were hurt and endanger that many lives. That's my dead-out opinion and belief. I'm entitled to that.
You're entitled to your opinion, but would you throw a baby off a bridge or set fire to all the trees in the world?
Because my feelings were hurt?
No. Would you throw a baby?
No, I would not. Because my feelings were hurt. No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
I don't care if you call me fat or I have bad breath. It has nothing to do with the absolute danger and damage that this person has created.
Well, you're not answering my question, though.
No, I'm not going to because it's not even applicable to what happened.
I notice
here.
It's gone from a baby dying to a baby being gored with a barbecue skewer.
Who's the baby? The woman is not a baby.
But
she's not a baby.
She's a human.
If she's a baby and she's actually looking after a forest, she's a pretty old and intelligent baby, I would think.
Well, John, but we're all
so
babies.
So she's not a child. And if
children.
You want to say, you want to talk tree huggers, and now you're talking about, let's get in touch with our inner child and have a group hug. It's absolutely amazing that you can come out with a statement like that. I know this is a talk show, but you know what? That's one of the most magnificently ignorant comments I've heard in such a long time, and that's why I had a call in here.
Well, John, I can tell you're angry.
It's furious that you would even come out with a comment like that. And how did you even make a reference to other people as being an abortionist? How did you tie that into a woman's feelings being hurt because she was called fat or whatever?
I asked Mr. Henry, what was more valuable, the life of a child or all the forest burning? And he said, what was more valuable were the forests. And I said, Mr. Henry, there's a job for him at an abortion clinic manning a vacuum.
Yeah, and I think
that's what he chooses to do. He can do that.
No, I don't choose to do that.
But let's get back to the real issue.
We're all babies
and lighting a fire and endangering all these people. I mean, Susan and her family was in definite danger.
And they were,
without a doubt.
They made it out,
And you know what? You're right.
John, I want to put you down.
I'm agreeing with you there.
All right, I'm going to put you down
but
in the category.
But there are no babies. This has nothing to do with a baby.
All right.
And a woman was no baby.
Right, but I'm putting you down
she
in the category.
She made a conscious choice to light that fire.
That's right. But I'm putting you down in the category of putting a barbecue skewer right through
Will you knock that off, okay? Nobody said anything about a barbecue skewer through a kid.
No one
Thank
did.
You.
I did.
Well, both of you guys.
Did
that's,
not tell them. No
what,
one
that's
did.
That's what both of you guys want to do.
Only this tawdry, self-proclaimed marriage counselor.
All right, John. Thanks.
It's not even a realistic comparison.
I appreciate
it's a grown adult that needs to get in.
We're all
get
babies.
Back to reality.
We all have an inner baby, and the inner baby needs
okay,
to be
Okay. Well,
remembered.
Apparently hers is way out of hand, and just pretty good with matches, isn't she?
Well, I would say that we all need a big nipple from time to time. And she didn't have one, so she set fire to half the state of Colorado.
Okay, I'm feeling bad right now. What do you think I should do?
You feel bad about what?
This is what I'm saying here. Well, somebody over there told me I was fat. What should I do about it? Light fires? That's basically what you're telling me.
Well,
I should go be an abortionist? Is that what you're telling me?
I think, yes.
Oh, that's a good idea, is it?
Go out and be an abortionist.
Where's your click?
All right, John, thanks. Thanks very much for your call.
The both of you laughing at me is masking your hostility.
Oh, blow it out your ass.
How dare you?
1-800-449-8686. So let's see. I'm feeling bad. I feel pretty bad right now. I think I'll go get a job at an abortion clinic. That'll cheer me up. How come nobody's laughing? I thought it was pretty funny. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Mr. Wheeler, you don't like all the tree huggers, and a woman's life is more valuable than all the trees in Colorado, huh?
I really believe that, Phil. And there's so... What is this?
This is John Denver music.
Please don't do that. You've done that on purpose, didn't you?
Yeah, I did do it on purpose. He kind of represents a sensibility that I personally like.
Oh, do you think he was hip or something? I thought he was kind of lame. I much preferred the music of Traffic, The Who, and...
Well, good for you. Sometimes I like to hear John Denver.
Oh, man, come on. Hey, Phil, do you want to go get naked in a sweat lodge?
You can rot, pal.
Jeez.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. From yesterday's show, by the way, I did the voice of Dean Wheeler in the last bit. In fact, I do all the voices of all the characters on my show. In fact, last hour, I did the voice of, who was the character? I forget. I don't remember one day to the next what I do. Oh, Bobby Dooley. Yeah, that was me and Steve. I do it all. Now, from yesterday's show, Vernon Dozier was jealous of Tiger Woods, and he didn't like the fact that his son thought Tiger Woods was pretty good.
Phil Henry Show. Comedy gold.
Well, this guy has absolutely no clue about what's important in life. I mean, what day is it? It's Father's Day, right?
You got it.
Okay,
yeah.
So why is it that you're celebrating Father's Day? Because you have a son.
You got it.
Right?
And he has a father.
Right. So your son, who's
my day.
Who should be one of the most important things to you, comes to you and talks to you about something that is important to him,
wait.
You smack him.
There's where you made a mistake. He has to talk to me about what's important to me because it's Father's Day. Yes.
No.
That's what
no, wait
is
a minute,
it? Is
wait
it
a minute.
Sunday?
You're a father, right?
Is it called Son's Day or is it called Father's Day?
No, this is...
There you go.
It's Father's Day.
Right.
And as a father, you have a son... who should be the most important thing to you.
My son
and
is
this
so...
person who's the most important thing to you comes and talks to you about something that's important to him,
oh,
and you smack him. And
listen,
you don't think that's deranged?
And what about what's important to me, okay? I went out...
Right, and your son should be important to you, and it apparently isn't, because you're more worried about this golf score of 88. Now, let me ask you this question on this golf score. How many mulligans did you take to get 88?
You're allowed one aside.
No, you're not.
And,
what?
No, you're not.
You are allowed one mulligan aside.
No, okay, you're
now,
if you're keeping
you took
away
the one
second.
Mulligan aside, how many penalties did you count? You know, did you play a do count or a don't count game?
I played a do count game. I have a handicap of 30.
Which means you shot a 118.
No, it doesn't. It means I shot a net 88.
Let me ask you this question.
Hey,
did you ever think to say, you know what?
You know,
Tiger Woods had a great game today, and guess what, son? So did I. In fact, I shot an 88 at whatever country club it was. Why don't you go golfing with me next time, and I'll show you how to play?
I want to have him golf with me, but he hacks it up.
Well, how do you think he's going to want to golf with you if you smack him every time he talks about golf?
I have had him out on the course with me, and he embarrasses me. He hacks it to pieces. He can't drive for crap.
He's 5 years old. How far do you think he's going to drive the ball?
Well, then you guys are telling me to take him out. Is that right?
Phil.
The man said take the boy. You can sit him in the cart with you.
They don't allow spectators.
Oh, bull crap. You, on a freaking middle of the week, they'll let you have your son sit with you in your cart, and you can...
Oh, and you've gone to Riviera how many times, Mr. Henry?
I've never golfed there.
Uh-huh. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
No,
you know
but I'm
buddy,
saying
I
thank you.
That
thank
if you.
You
can
no.
ever get
thank
your
you.
Son to talk to you about anything, you ought to let him talk to you because with the attitude you've got, you're lucky he even talks to you.
Hey, on Father's Day, you're supposed
I don't care what.
Why don't
is.
You like Tiger Woods?
He bothers me, okay?
Why?
This has nothing to do with Tiger Woods. This is about a dad who has a son. And that son has something that was important or on his mind, and
what
his
about
father
what
was more interested
mind?
In hearing about something he did himself than about something to help his son or talk to his son or build a communication with his son. And if that's the kind of dad you are, you don't deserve to be a dad. You're lucky that this kid even talks to you.
What about what important was on my mind?
What?
What about what was important on my mind?
You're a dad, right?
Yeah.
And that means making sacrifices, and one of the sacrifices you make is the things
your
kids
Father's
are
Day.
More important in life
Not.
Than you.
My wife said that Father's Day is the day.
The day that what?
What happened to you? Did you get anything?
Yeah, my kids made breakfast for me. They served it in bed.
Oh, okay, so now you're rubbing that in, huh?
I'm not rubbing anything in, man, but my kids served me breakfast in bed.
I didn't get diddly squat.
Did you get a present?
I got a cheap tie. Are you a father, Bob?
Yeah, I am. I have three kids.
What'd you get?
I didn't get squat, and I didn't care. But you know what I did get? I got a chance to go to church with one of my kids. I got a phone call from one of my other kids, my daughter who lives in Florida.
Jesus.
And that was it.
All right.
But I'm happy about that because I can communicate with my kids. But I'll tell you, when your kids come and talk to you about something that's important and you smack them, they're never going to talk to you again, and I don't blame them.
No, he'll talk to me about me, and I got to stop.
Like a short conversation because you sound so shallow that there ain't a whole lot to talk about, buddy.
All right, listen.
Hold
on. Thank you, Bob. I got to move on. 1-800-449.
Oh, he gets to throw his hand grenade and run. Is that
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah. That's some comedy gold. Especially when you consider the guy that called in didn't know it was a made-up voice he was talking to. And that's our show, The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We got tons of crap like that on our website. PhilHendryShow.com. PhilHendryShow.com. I got a lot of stuff on Father's Day. I got 3 shirts. I got breakfast in bed. And the great thing about Father's Day is you just tell everybody what you want, when you want it, and how you want it. And if they don't do it, you say it's, you know, you look... I thought this was Father's Day, but I guess it's not. Okay, thank you. And then you walk away with your head down, and they're like, no, we're sorry, we're sorry. Yeah, oh, really? Well, and I'm just a stepdad. So my kids, I beat them into shape pretty good. 1-800-449-8686. So let's recap, shall we? A woman set fire to a forest because her feelings were hurt, and that makes me an abortionist. I just love that. I don't know how it happened, but that's how it happened. She sets fire to a whole forest, and because I find fault with that, I might as well be manning a vacuum at an abortion clinic. Man. And everybody that called in, too. Why am I laughing? I was doing the voice of Dean Wheeler. I knew what he was going to say before he said it. Or did I? All right, 1-800-449-8686. In this month's Maxim magazine, which is truly a remarkable magazine, if you haven't read Maxim... Maybe you've never even heard of Maxim. It has the highest circulation of any man's magazine. I think it has higher circulation than Playboy, as a matter of fact. And they seem to get it right. As a matter of fact, the banner at the top of the magazine says it all. Sex, sports, beer, gadgets, clothes, fitness. And of all, the only thing I'm not interested in is fitness. Everything else there I can pretty much go with, except maybe sex. Sports, beer, gadgets, and clothes. What? Do you hear something? Jeff Cabot is our engineer. He's filling in for Craig, and he's hearing things. And while I'm in the middle of trying to wrap up this hour, he's going, I'm hearing stuff. Well, you might ask the guys down there in Griggs' room or something, man. In any event, in any event, in this month's magazine, they've got another one of those lists of the hottest babes, the hottest chicks. They had the 100 sexiest women last month, but they've got a list now of music's sexiest girls. Now, I bet you could guess who they are. I bet you could guess who they are. You think? Well, maybe you could, and maybe you couldn't, because there's a few surprises in here. Number one is Christina Aguilera. Number two is Jennifer Lopez. Number three is Beyonce Knowles. Is that her name? Number four is Britney Spears. Number five is Janet Jackson. Number six is Gwen Stefani. Number seven is Mandy Moore. Number eight is Alicia Keys. And then that's it. Ain't they leaving a few out? Like, what about Sharon Osbourne? 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget my website, philhendryshow.com, PhilHendryShow.com. Get a backstage pass. Check out all the classic comedy we got on the site. We've just loaded in about 8 billion more clips. And don't forget to visit our souvenir shop. We got the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt and the Best of the Phil Hendry Show CDs that are available from 1997 through 2001. And starting on Monday, we will have for you the official Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt, the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. this thing's going to be beautiful. High quality, 100% cotton t-shirt. Check it all out on our website, philhenryshow.com.